In a couple of weeks, we're going to do something. It'll be 2 to 3 weeks. I'm not sure. It's going to be not this Sunday. The Sunday is the Sunday before Memorial Day, so we're going to take off Sunday night. But then I'm going to ask as many of you as will to come on Sunday nights for about 6 or 7 weeks if you want to. We're going to do something that the Lord's been asking of me for a while, and then he showed me how he wants to do it. It's going to be a dual thing. It's a discipleship training manual that we're going to produce. And I will do this on Sunday nights for about 6 or 7 weeks. It'll be a 20-minute teaching at the most. Now, we'll have a handbook that we're going to develop that will be an outline with body to it, so that when you get somebody saved, get them born again, or they get born again, you're going to be able to give them something. Combined with it will be a place on our website. I will teach what just happened to you, and I will teach the basic fundamentals of it. It will not be as in-depth as what you know. There'll be a number of things that you'll think of maybe while I'm talking about it. Well, you could say this, or you could say, we're going to be very limited because we want to make it very abbreviated. We want to make it where somebody will watch it, not an hour-long sermon. We want it to be 20 minutes at the most. And then from that, each teaching, then we'll have what it is to be filled with the Spirit, and we'll you know, go through a number of foundational things. And the Holy Spirit will help us. If you want to come and be a studio audience, that would be great, because I can speak to an audience, but I'll be looking into the camera. And you can be praying the whole time too. I'd ask that you probably don't bring little ones that may act up in the, because that doesn't bother me necessarily in a service, but I'm going to be speaking into a camera. And when I give someone this book, they'll be able to go to our website and watch it and follow along at the same time. I don't want to give them something that I can go to a bookstore and buy somebody else's material. I want them to understand what born again means. We'll go into why your appetites have changed. We'll explain that, why you immediately had a change in appetites. We'll go into a number of different fundamental things. It'll be very, very fundamental, but we're talking about babies that needs to get, right? Carl's been asking for this for a long time. Cap, when are you going to do this? So we're going to do it. And we appreciate those that are going to be helping us write this material and get it out. Because if you don't begin to prepare for revival, God doesn't count you as a steward of revival. So like we're going to talk about pray in revival. What are you doing getting ready for? If I send a bunch of people your way and get them born again, how are you going to immediately begin to disciple them? Well, if we have, I think there's probably 6 or 7 weeks. Obviously, one of those is how the importance of the Word of God, get them born again, Word of God, Spirit-filled. I don't know if it'll be in that order, close to that order. And we'll just start them out. Here's where you need to start out, in the Word of God. You know, you don't need to start in Ezekiel or Lamentations. Now, they'll learn this if they come to church, but we don't know if they're going to be at our church or not, okay? So you can take these books. They won't, you know, we're going to believe for an entrepreneur to help us to produce these where we're not charge anything. So, hallelujah. And I know a good guy that does books, right? Yeah. Natalie, we know a guy that does books. My people will get with your people, okay? So, hallelujah. So the main thing is to keep things very simple and condensed. Do you know the word, and this is a question for all of us, do you know the word of God enough and know your revelation on any particular subject enough that you can explain it in depth with a minimal amount of words and time? That's how well you know something. Sometimes if it takes you an hour and a half to 2 hours to talk and get something over to somebody, you may know it, but in truth, I'll tell you this, I started to say in fact, but in truth, do you know this is a very short book? Very, a God deals with mankind for 6,000 years, and it's in one little book you can carry around. Now, if you and I, apart from the Holy Spirit, you know, one of the great miracles of the writers was that they were really condensed things. They condensed things very. God knew that if you had a blabbermouth, somebody that just kept writing, you know, if they left it there, people wouldn't read it. You'd have had 50 books to have to carry around, or he wanted it in one consolidated book. I mean, imagine creation. What if you were there describing creation? He describes that in one chapter. All of creation. And we're like, if I had to explain that apart from the Holy Spirit, you know, I'd write 50 books on it, but nobody would read it. The shortness of the Word of God, or the abbreviation of the Word of God, is just as miraculous as everything else about the Word of God. Now, the amazing part is it's like seed. Once you water it with prayer and the Holy Ghost, multiple revelations can come out of that. And it can be like, my God, this goes on. And you can preach on one verse for 10 years. But that's the miraculousness of the Word of God. If it had been written by man in man's mentality, you wouldn't have had 66 books. You'd have had 660 books. And nobody would have, you know, it would have been so hard and laborious. And yeah, but it's miraculous. It's very miraculous. Hallelujah. Well, I have no notes, but I do have one title. And the title's so long that I had to write it down so I wouldn't forget it. And I just have some scripture, and I'm just going to speak, I pray, as a father out of my heart. The stewards of revival must grow up and stop being naive. The stewards of revival must grow up and stop being naive. 25 years ago is when I started on this walk. 25 years ago in March of this year is when I first went to Tulsa. And I started on this way. I have continued on this way for these 25 years, and many of you have gone with me, and I so respect you and love you, and many of you watching have. I was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost before I started on this way, but I found a way that was the Apostles' Creed. I found what I had been searching for, and the evidence of not turning away from it or even seriously ever considering turning away from it in 25 years is an absolute testimony to the validity of it. It is. There's been a whole lot of things happen, just like all of your, you know, it's not me just giving my own testimony. There's been times in life where all kinds of things would happen around here. Money would be short, people would be short, two or three or four betrayals, I don't know. People would leave, things would happen, elders would leave, things would, you know, but there never was any consideration of turning aside. If the Lord would have asked me at any of those given times, are you going to leave also? I would have said, just like the disciples, Lord, where do I go? You have the words of, you've given, where do I go from here? Are you serious? There's no turning back. In all of the fight, the testimony of the peace is the greatest testimony in 25 years. A peace that will not let me go, it won't let you go. And a knowledge of where we're headed. I thought, probably like a lot of others that are mature in the faith, that it would have been done by now. I thank God with all of my heart that 5 years into this, we did not receive the outpouring. Really, Pastor? Yeah, because we were not stewards ready. One of the reasons why that God has waited so long is that He has waited for a generation that would steward and keep hold of the doctrine of truth, soundness of mind, as Pastor Dave used to say, and not would grow up to a point where they would not be naive. Well, what's naive? Most of you know that word, but it's a simplicity, it's a simpleness, it's a goal. Yeah, I guess some synonymous words would be to be gullible, to not really think something through it or to discern something. When we've started, and a number of years in, we were to the point where we were zealous and we were doing this walk. But if I think about the different things that have been added to us, the character that has been added to us, the doctrine that has been added to us, no church, no group, no matter how zealous, is ready for revival until they have such foundational teachings like the born again trail. That was one of the cornerstones of modern, you might say, theology breakthroughs that was prayed through. Pastor Dave not only gave us a foundation of praying in tongues, but just the understanding of born again. You won't have a revival that it lasts unless you have on your revival tree or your revival foundation such great teachings like 1 John that Gary Carpenter was given. It gave to our foundation a black and white. It took away gray. Many of you that I know of that are in this congregation that I'd say are great stewards of the Word of God were right along pace to pace with Gary when he was delivering those things. And it was not hard for any of us really to say yay and amen to those things because we had that kind of foundation. But I'm saying overall, if that foundation is not in the church, it is one of the greatest safeguards to keep the church from ever going into promiscuous grace. And 20 years ago, there were things that I was allowing that there's no way I wouldn't be mean about it now, it just wouldn't even be a question. Nobody would clean the church or help out in the nursery or do anything that was living with someone. That wouldn't even be a question. Not understanding 1 John now. You get a group of people thinking they're ready for revival, and God comes and their foundation is not built where they can steward that revival. It'll have a shelf life. And what is lacking in their foundation will be the very thing that Satan goes after to destroy them. And we've had so much added on, haven't we, in these last 25 years. Are you ready? I'll tell you, we're getting so close. It's getting spooky up in here. Not just about the promise of the move, but the doctrine has gotten us to a place where it's beyond argument. Somebody comes, I'd like to talk to you about this, and argue. No, there's no argument. I'm sorry, but I don't even have time for your, if you want to learn something, sure. I don't have time for debate. I'm right on the threshold of receiving a revival. You're not going to be a distraction to me. Hallelujah. My buddy Gene, brevity, that's a good word. He knows what I'm talking about. He goes back to the brevity of the Word of God. Love my buddy. So once again, the stewards of a revival must grow up and stop being naive. Pastor Dave used to say something, and it taught me, and it's still teaching me. He would go to school on everything, even his failures. If something didn't work out like he understood, or something went amiss, he would go before the Lord, and he would let the Lord teach him. He would say, don't ever waste your trials. Don't ever waste them. Learn. It's not necessarily God bringing them, but learn in them so you don't have to repeat them. You don't want to be a repeat. And you want to learn so that you can teach others also. And so that you're also ready for stewarding a revival. Because a dispensation, Paul said concerning himself, a dispensation has been delivered unto me. Well, I can say this in all truth. A dispensation has been delivered unto us and those that are watching and those here, that it's called a dispensation of revival. And he is trusting us to be stewards. When I say stewards, I'm saying those that can handle this and handle it in such a way that we're the caretakers of it. We're the caretakers of it. We take care of it through soundness of doctrine and soundness of truth. And one of the ways that we take care of it is that we are those who are grown up. We're grown up in what we understand, and we're grown up in what comes through the church and what we allow ourselves to believe or disbelieve, and we're grown up in what we hear among ourselves and what we hear out in the church at large, and we judge all things, and we prove all things, and we cause ourselves, not with a disposition that is antagonistic, like we're always looking to argue a point. But there is, if I look and say, Lord, are we ready? See, one of the things the Lord took me to school on, because I always say, Lord, if I fail in something, and I'm not necessarily going to say that there was a failure on my part. In fact, tonight I'm not speaking at you, I'm speaking with you. We're learning together. But if I do come short in something, then I'm really, really wanting to be a good student and say, Lord, okay, teach me as I'm going so that I can handle a revival. So I saw some things that the Lord came to me in, and I learned some things, and I'm still learning, but I saw some things in the year 2020, which was an incredible year. A lot of things happened in that year. Of course, a global pandemic, things in our nation that many thought would not happen and could not happen. And so I watched from a standpoint of observation, and watched the body of Christ at large, because it's not the world that causes revival, it's the body of Christ. So I watched, and then I watched some things about myself, and then I had to come to some places of reconciliation where I said, Lord, you got to teach me. And some of that was taught to me at the end of 2020, going into 21. In January, I did my usual fast, and I shut the phone off. I just shut it off during the day. I didn't want to hear another prophecy. I didn't want to hear another conspiracy theory. I wanted to hear what he was saying. I was drunk with all that stuff. I was not drunk with it. Now this is not an indictment about to those who followed the law or were wisely precautious. This is an overall assessment as I watched the body of Christ, even those that would call themselves revivalist. I saw a fear of the pandemic, and I'll reiterate that went beyond what we as citizens probably should do or maybe should do. I'm not going to argue that, but there was an overall fear among the body of Christ, and not just the body of Christ at large, some I would call revivalist. And one thing it showed me is that the overall body was not ready for revival. Had not matured. It wasn't ready to steward a revival. The other thing that really concerned me, and where I really had to come, and I'll do some, because we're going to read some scripture here in just a moment out of Jeremiah, but I was really alarmed, and I didn't say much to anybody about it, but I was really alarmed about a number of different things. And I'll do this disclaimer. We're going to talk about prophets tonight. But it's really not just about prophets. It's about the body of Christ and what's out there at large in the body of Christ, and coming to a place of maturity against being naive and making decisions based on the Word of God and not on excitement. You see, you can overlook the miraculous while searching for the spectacular, wanting to see and experience and all kinds of things. One of the things I saw in the body of Christ at large during the end of 2020, the prophets, and I'll give this disclaimer because I really sincerely want to be nice, and that I mean that. I'm not going to name any names, and if I did, you probably wouldn't even know the people I named, but people would send me different prophets to listen to, and they were prophesying concerning the result of where 2020 would take place concerning the election and how the nation would go. I really feel in my heart that most of those men, if not all of them, are good men. I hope, and I think I believe they are. But, and I did not listen. I will say this as another disclaimer. I did not listen to all their prophecies, so maybe there was some things. But all the ones that I got and listened to, they were all wrong. They were absolutely wrong. They were just wrong. And I'll say a couple things about that. You remember Pastor Dave saying about the barbershop story? Well, the Lord told me, Pastor Dave, could you tell me this? Could you tell me my answer to my riddle? Yes, sir. I'll try. The Lord spoke to me and said, go down to the barbershop, because he had somebody for me to witness to. And when I got down there, the barbershop was closed. Pastor Dave, why did the Lord tell me to do that? He said, well, I can tell you, it wasn't the Lord that told you to do that. It wasn't God. It was yourself. Well, then the guy said, well, you know, then I walked out on the sidewalk and I seen one guy walking by and I said, hey, Jesus loves you or something. And maybe that's the reason why, Pastor Dave. Dave said, boy, you die hard, man. You die hard. Why don't you just accept you didn't hear from God? So a lot of times people say, well, yeah, they did hear, but it's for a time. And no, wait a minute. It's for a time and see. No. Did I lose the guys? Are we still back? Man, I made my greatest statement right there. Watch this again, please. It's good. So people will stick up and say, well, no, it was for a time and season. It was, no, that's not what they conveyed. That's not what we understood. Well, it's dark sayings. No, if it sounds like what you're saying is immediate, like this, not 4 years later, November. And I will say this, I do know that many prophecies are conditional, but that wasn't the kind of case. It wasn't like if you'll do this or if the nation comes. It was more of a, this is going to happen. You do know the Revelation prophecies. You can't pray those away. There's no part of them that's conditional. Revelation is going to take place no matter what. You can like it, dislike it, believe against it, believe for it, believe fast, pray. All those things are going to take place. It's just going to take place. Your personal prophecies and things about, now here's another thing too, when I was in my prayer closet during that time, the Lord spoke to me and he was teaching me, because I never prophesied that certain things and certain people were going to be in office. I never prophesied that. But I got to admit, I did believe some of the prophets. And it was real famous during that time, real popular, I should say, during that time, the verse out of 2 Chronicles 20, you know, Jehoshaphat's. Believe his prophets, so shall thou prosper. And I believe that verse as well. But all the ones I heard from Australia to America, they were just absolutely confounded They were wrong. Well, why were they wrong, and how does that happen? Is we've got scripture on it. But the other thing, too, where I saw the body of Christ at is, now I will put a disclaimer. I believe there's a wickedness going on in this world that's beyond what we see. And I believe that there's an underlining junk going on among some elites and different ones. I do believe that. So I do believe that. I do believe that. But from November to the end of January, there was a spine-tingling, goosebump conspiracy theory, every single day for about 60-something days. By 2 o'clock this afternoon, it's going to happen. It's coming down. Get ready. And I'm not making fun of anybody. I tried to bridle myself a little bit, but sometimes I would send those to somebody that, you know, I thought was mature enough. I realized out of that, there's some growth that has to take place, because it's coming again. These things are coming again. They're going to crank up again. How willing and how fast are you willing to say, because I can tell you, listen, if you're a big spine-tingling, goosebump-passing conspiracy theorist on everything, you're close to being, very close to being gullible. And Satan's going to make fun of you. You better watch how quickly you say things, how quickly you believe things, how quickly you pass things. And I will say this, and I'm saying this by the grace of God. I'm asking Him to help me, because it's going to come again. It's going to come again. The next time that anybody sends me a prophet that I don't know, they may be a prophet. Here's what we're going to see tonight, and I'm going to show you from the Word. It matters, it truly matters, if it truly matters what a prophet believes in doctrine and the life that he lives. If you think that prophecy is just sovereign, like, okay, he's going to drop on me. God can come on and he can speak through a jackass, because he did Balaam's donkey. And he's proved that he can do it again. No, he has not. No, he has not. It matters. It matters. Truly matters. I'm not talking about a perfection according to man, but I'm talking about we were so naive in saying, listen to what this guy said. Okay, from now on, where we need to come to is, what do you know about this guy? Have you listened to what he teaches? What is his doctrine? Well, it doesn't matter. His doctrine does matter. What about his lifestyle? What about his life? Is he living a good moral life? No. Well, now wait a minute. God can just God, no, no. You cannot separate the morality of the prophet. I can tell you by Scripture, the way that somebody lives and what they believe will bleed into, especially if they're not where they should be, it will bleed into their prophecies. Hallelujah. Thank you. You're listening real good. Now turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I've been going through Jeremiah, just reading through it real slow and getting a lot of wonderful understanding. We're going to look at Jeremiah 23. If we have time, we'll read it some out of the Amplified. I'd like to do that, but maybe we won't have that amount of time. But you can look up for a second. Let me talk to you about Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah was a prophet that prophesied prior to the exile of the Jews into Babylon. If you read the prophets, this is information. It may not impress you at all, but there's major and minor prophets. The major prophets are the ones that prophesied more prolifically, have longer books. The minor prophets are the really short, you know, books. But almost all of the prophets, not all of them entirely, but so many of them had everything to do with God's judgment on Israel and Judah, the Jews, prior to their exile into Babylon, during their stay in Babylon, and their exodus out of Babylon back into Israel. So there's so much, as you read these books, Jeremiah was prior to the exile, and he kept prophesying, you know, all of these chapters after chapter, you know, it just, he's termed the weeping prophet, but he just crying out, but at the same time, he's saying, please stop. But at the same time, basically, throughout these chapters, he's saying, it's too late. There's been enough over and over, chapter after chapter. He talks about offering their children, sending the children through their fire to Baal. In other words, that's child sacrifice. The innocent blood, the Sodomites were living next to the temple, and that horrid practice that we talked about last week, and on and on and on. And he comes to the place where he says, he actually names him by name, Nebuchadnezzar is coming, the king of the north is coming. And you're not going to escape this. There were other prophets that were during his time that were contemporaries of his. They were prophesying. And Jeremiah's right up to the Exodus. And we don't know exactly what happened to him. There was a great group that went away in the first, when Nebuchadnezzar first came in and pillaged the temple and took away, you know, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, took away that bunch. And they go over there, and then there's later, he tries to set up a king there, and that king rebels against him, so he comes back, and he finally just burns the temple down and says, I'm just going to, you know, take you all. Many Jews went into exile into Egypt, and it's traditionally thought that Jeremiah actually died in Egypt, and they say that he was probably stoned to death over there. But that's a little history. But Jeremiah is prophesying to Israel, and he's trying to, or, you know, Judah at the time, he's trying to help them understand and understand why this correction is taking place. But he's talking here in chapter 23. And I'm gonna go here to this, recognize some subtitles here that I'd like to keep in mind. Look at verse 1. It says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my sheep. You've scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And when he's saying this, he's talking about really post-exile, when once again he brings them after 70 years in exile. He's going to bring them back. You know, there's different. Daniel was in exile, the whole book of Daniel. Daniel's over. He's not in Israel. He's over in Babylon. He's seeing all those visions. He's writing all that stuff. Esther, she's not in Israel. This, her life doesn't take place. It takes place over in Babylon. She's over there. She's one of the exiles. And so when he's talking about here that I'm going to bring them back, he's talking about the days ahead. And Jeremiah was the one that God said gave him specific, and I think it's two chapters over from here. He gave him specifically, you're going to be there 70 years. Daniel, because he studied the word, Daniel took Jeremiah's writings and read through them, and he said, according to Jeremiah's writings, I found how long we're going to be here. So Jeremiah was very, very strong prophet. And I will say this, what Jeremiah prophesied came to pass. How do you know a true prophet? It happens. It happens. And he says in verse 4, I will set up my shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Now, we know that's a messianic prophecy. He's talking about our Lord now. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. I like that King James put all that in caps. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, I'll read the rest of that in just a moment, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But this is what they'll say. So what, let me clarify 7. He said, the day's going to come when what was the popular thing to say, our Lord is the Lord that brought us out of Egypt. That cheer is going to be replaced with another cheer, which is, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country. The north country was Babylon. And from all countries, whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. So he said, there's coming a time, you're going into exile. This nation is over. It's going to be judged. But the anthem that you're going to raise when you get back is, you're going to be so glad to be set free again. For the last several hundred years, you've been saying, God brought us out of Egypt. That's going to change because you're going back into bondage. You were brought out of bondage. You're going back into bondage. When you get out of that bondage, then the anthem that you'll raise is, it's going to be replaced with God brought us out of Egypt to God brought us out of Babylon, out of the north country. So you understand that. So here he says, my heart within me is broken because of the prophets, and all my bones shake. Jeremiah says, I am like a drunken man, and like a man whose wine hath overcome, and whom wine has overcome, because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth, and the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their face is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They have prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. In other words, these prophets, he's saying, that were of Samaria, they were prophesying by Baal, by that demon spirit they were prophesying. And they'd caused the people of Israel to err and go into sin as a result of it. And he said, I've seen also the prophets of Jerusalem, a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. In other words, once they go into wickedness, they won't repent out of it. And that's because of what the prophets were saying. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I have fed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Now listen. Let's go back to what I was talking about in 2020. Now I will say this, and I'd still hope, but I don't know, because some of the prophets I don't know. I really don't know. I felt when I heard some of their things, I didn't get a major check on most of them, like, this is a real evil man trying to look good. I didn't get that. But I will say this, based on this scripture, it says, they speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Do you know you can want something to take place so bad that you begin to say, the Lord is saying this. And here's where we need to grow up. And this is not an accusation against anybody or anybody watching. I learned some things. The Lord said to me, I said, Lord, because I was in that fasting time, and I really wanted to hear from God. Nobody was bothering me. When I say shut off the phone, that wasn't because anybody was really bothering me. But I wanted to get real clear-headed. I didn't want to hear from, I didn't want to hear a conspiracy theory. I didn't want to hear another at 2 a.m. or 2, it's all coming down. Or I didn't want to hear another prophet. I just wanted to hear from the Holy Ghost. And I said, Lord, I thought certain ways, and it's not like I really believed. And I'm just asking you to teach me. I was thankful I'd never said, thus saith the Lord. I was thankful of that. But there might have been some times I might have been tempted. I don't know. I probably was. But you hold back. Good thing you hold back. Good thing you hold back. But I said, Lord, teach me, because I want to go to school. And I went to school, and he said, one thing you got to know is, and this isn't exactly verbatim, but I'm going to say it how it came across or how I, he said, the prophecies or the things that happen in a nation concerning what you think you hear from me versus your own personal walk is totally two different things. You can trust, he said, because of my dealings in your life on an ongoing, personal, daily basis, you can trust what you believe you hear me saying to you personally far more than you can when you get out into realms of when it deals with millions of people. Because then you're in new territory. Now, you can hear from God concerning that. But it's not like your own personal life. And it's not like concerning things of the spirit that we call spiritual things concerning revival and the outpouring and doctrine and those kinds of things. But I learned something, how how slow one of my fathers in the faith that I love so much, Tim, says, I'll never forget, it always stays with me, God has two speeds, just two speeds, slow and slower. The best way not to make a mistake is follow Him. And how's everybody on heat? Maybe I'm preaching myself into, can you turn it down just a little bit? That'd be great. The best way to get ahead of God is not go slow enough. And then you know what? When God gets you in a position, it's just like overnight. You say, well, nothing will be accomplished. No, once the position has been found of authority, boy, you turn around and everything's done. All kinds of things are accomplished. But nevertheless, back to our subject matter here. Verse 17, and they say still unto them that despise me, the prophets are saying to the people that despise God, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. So the prophets were saying to people that were evil, you're okay, God's hand's on you, you're going to be blessed, walk in the peace of God. And Jeremiah is saying it's for this very reason that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and destroy you all. For who, verse 18, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until, in other words, he's not going to cease it until he has executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. In other words, you'll look back and see what God was doing as a result of their own wickedness. I have not sent, God said, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken unto them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? Can any hide himself in a secret place that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. You know, when somebody says, I've dreamed, immediately you can catch people's attention by saying, you know, I had a dream. And people say, man, that's interesting. Can I hear it? You can catch somebody's attention by saying, I had a, especially if you say, I had a vision, boy. Listen. Paul said, in I think it's in 2 Corinthians, is it a marvel that as prophets and false apostles, is it a marvel that they themselves are not false and now I'm paraphrasing. He said it's not a marvel that these are changed, or he said even Satan himself is changed into an angel of light. In other words, he can appear as an angel of light. And it's no marvel that those that are sent by him, in essence, will affect the body of Christ. Kenneth Hagin said, I loved it. I loved how much he knew the Lord. I don't know that I'd say this. He had an open vision. The Lord sit right there, and the Lord's telling himself, and he said, now, if you can't give me chapter and verse on this, I'm not going to believe a thing that you say. Listen, there's going to be angels that'll come in these last days. There's going to be prophets that'll come in these last days. There's going to be people on Facebook in these last days. There's going to be all kinds of people that you think you respect. Don't come to me and say, Pastor, you got to, man, you, boy, can we have this guy at our church? I've been listening to him. Okay, I'm going to say, okay, listen, what do you know about him? What kind of life is he walking with God? Well, Pastor, I got a word for the church, or I got a word. God's told me something. Maybe I don't give it out, but I think this is a direction. God told me this about, yeah, I still have a porno problem, but God's, no, listen. God, I'm going to use this word, ain't talking to you about anything concerning the body of Christ or anything concerning revival or anything concerning anybody's life. The only message he ever says to you, he may talk to you, is how to get your own life straightened out. And you ain't getting a mic. And you ain't getting a reference from me like somebody said something. Because he ain't talking to you. Not about church or revival or correction or... He's not even giving you major revelation. The only revelation he'll ever bring to you while you're in that is that you've been born again and set free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. He'll keep bringing that revelation, but he's not going to bring any other revelation. It just ain't happening. I'm preaching real good now, and y'all are helping me. Kenneth Hagin said, I'm not, Lord, you can't give me chapter and verse on it. I'm not believing anything you say. Now, there's a man that God came to several times in his life, but he was not naive. He could handle and steward the things that God gave him, because goosebumps, conspiracy theories, anything that anybody said someplace else, he weighed them out to the point that he would tell the Lord, I'm weighing what you're saying. Because you may be an angel of light. Do you know every false denomination that has ever been concerning our friends across, our friends there, they need to be our friends one day, concerning the people across the street, I'm talking about the Mormons, all of them started out with some kind of vision. Some kind of vision. And there was not enough sound doctrine to say, no. That wasn't a vision from God. That's a vision straight from hell. That's the first step to getting you going the wrong direction. So us as stewards of the revival, a lot of things are going to be said to us. And this isn't just about, this message is not just about prophets. It's way beyond that. It's all about you living in the world that you live in. Facebook, family, all kinds of stuff coming to you and people saying things. Now, based on what Jeremiah is telling us, what comes from the Lord as really being said by God ought to be backed up by a pure life and sound doctrine. God can just take somebody over. No. Paul said in Romans when he was talking about, and let each wait, wait on his ministry, on teaching, on exhorting, on giving. When he said about prophecy, he said, prophesy. Let them prophesy according to the proportion of their faith. Pastor Dave would always say and add to that, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So your prophesying comes largely out of the depth of the word that you have in you. That's how it comes. And I love the way that Pastor Dave used to describe that, and I've been able to develop, not of myself, but of Christ, a strong, by the grace of God, I will continue, only by His grace, a strong prophetic ministry, as in pastor giving himself over to prophecy, but understanding that how prophecy works. And Pastor Dave would say, it's not like the Lord just gives you something like, you can't, there is no way that the Holy Spirit in me or standing beside me, and I am, in a certain sense, hearing it for the first time, because I'm not practicing it, before service necessarily, or just, the Lord might start, I can feel Him starting to come on me sometimes, way before, and I can feel Him starting that prophetic anointing. I know when it's coming. But they would say it's the Holy Spirit will drop a whole revelation inside of you, and then He will anoint your vocabulary to speak that revelation out. And it's coming at a, it's coming, you just, it, the best you can do is just repeat what you're hearing. And but He's using my vocabulary. You understand that? I mean, He might have the same revelation to prophesy through you, but certain words, now He will sometimes accentuate certain words, and you'll say, man, that, haven't heard that word right there, it all came from God, but that word turned the whole thing. But He uses, He'll prophesy out of the proportion of your faith, out of the basis of the Word of God that's inside of you. So the depth of the Word, He can take that Word, drop the revelation inside of you from the foundation of that Word, and then anoint your mind to speak just in millimeters of a second. You're speaking what you're hearing out of that revelation. But to say that it doesn't matter, the lifestyle of somebody that prophesies, it does. And it does matter what they believe. Now, we don't, and I follow the same thing around here. When you get present-day speaking from Tulsa, they don't list who prophesied. And we don't necessarily, we don't do that on our website either. We judge it. But that's to keep down any kind of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 kind of attitude, like I'm of a Paul, I'm of Apollos, I like Gary best, I like Jim best, I like Bronk best, I like, like I'd rather hear from them which one of them said it. No. I'm on a panel, I don't know if you call a panel a group of people, men or women, I guess. I don't know, I've never asked. They send me the prophecies to judge. The Word says, let two or three prophets prophesy, and the rest judge. So I'm not calling myself a prophet. I'm given to prophecy. That's what I'm saying, given as a pastor, given to prophecy. I'm not calling myself a prophet. But so I'll judge, and I don't know who it is. I'll judge the Word, and I will say this. Tulsa may not, I don't know if they know everybody exactly, because they may get some from overseas. I don't know if they know the lifestyle. We just judge the Word. But this is what I do know, this. If I knew, like say for instance here personally, and I'm sure I'm speaking for them, if I knew, if the Lord brought it up, that somebody that was sending it in was living a promiscuous lifestyle, listen, the well eventually is going to belch bad water. Bad well, bad water. Because this is what Jeremiah is saying. You prophets, you're prophesying out of your own self because you're walking in evil. Now, we haven't had that kind of problem. But I'm saying if if it came up in here like that. Prophecies. Or weird doctrine. Or weird doctrine. I bet none of you know what verse we were in. What is it? We're further than that because I've scrolled down. 25, maybe. Can I hide? 20, okay. I'm gonna start at 25, like overlap. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. I've dreamed. That's where we're at because I was talking about dreams. How long shall this be in the hearts of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. In other words, they're prophesying of their own heart. Pastor, you got to hear this prophecy. Well, and it may be really good. I mean, we're not the only people that prophesy. You understand that? There's a lot. But before you start saying how wonderful somebody is that you've been listening to, I would suggest before you tell anybody else, if you think that they're good, you need to know what they're teaching all across the board. You need 10, 15, 20 sermons of what. And if you get into one or two and they're squirrely, you don't need to listen to the other 10. They done identified their self right to start with, honey. Well, maybe they're straightened up. No. They're just bad well, bad water. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire? Here's the real word of God is like a fire, saith the Lord. It's like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my word, every one of them from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongue and say, listen to this, he saith. That's not just something that comes from the prophets. That's something that comes from friends, family, everybody, Facebook. The Lord spoke to me. He saith. And then all of a sudden, we're supposed to say, really? What did he say? What did he say? That's supposed to be like a buzzword that catches our attention. The Lord spoke to me. Oh, really? Did he? Okay, good. Okay, but when he speaks to you, if it goes against the word of God, and besides for that, now, if you're going to tell me that he spoke some great revelation to you, Pastor, you cannot believe how God's been speaking to me out of his word. He's breaking down 1 John and James to my... Well, no, wait a minute. I know that you got a bar problem. God ain't been breaking James down for you. I know you got a sipping problem. 1 John is not being revealed to you. Holy Ghost ain't coming and breaking all that stuff down. He's coming and saying, you've been free, boy. I got help up here. Behold, I'm against the prophets that say, he saith. Well, I'm against people saying he saith when I know that he's not saying. But I'm not going to be mean. You could fight with people all day. You just go on. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness. Yet I sent them not. I did not send them, the Lord said, nor command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people or the prophet or the priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Now, when he says, what's the burden of the Lord? He's talking about what is the present tense prophecy in context, I wish we had time. We don't. We're getting close to being done. What's the prophecy that we're holding on to out of the Amplified? It makes it real plain. Like, what's the present day prophecy that's been spoken? What are you holding to? He says, as for the prophets and the priests and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall you say, everyone to his neighbor and everyone to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall be you mentioned no more. In other words, he wanted them to stop repeating these lies. For every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? But hence ye say, the burden of the Lord, but since you say, in other words, up to this point, the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because you say this word, the burden of the Lord, and have not, and have sent unto you, saying, you have not, you shall not say. In other words, he's commanding. I know this is kind of redundant. It kind of, it sounds like mismatch, mash. But what he's saying is, stop repeating this stuff. Stop repeating it. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the cities that I gave you, and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Hallelujah. Closing. We're getting close to being stewards. Stewards. With a D, not a T. But we've got to grow up. Part of that growing up is weighing what's exciting from God versus what is just hearsay and what is something that is just a goosebump rendering, and who's the source? Who's the source? Will I repeat the source? Now, because you've proven me for 20 years, I've proven other ministers, we don't always have to keep our guards up towards certain people. We kind of accept them, but at the same time, we prove the word. Acts, what chapter is it? 13? I'm trying to remember. It doesn't matter, but Paul went from Thessalonica, where he was being persecuted, down to Berea, and he presented the word, and the word says that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians, because they searched the word daily to see if those things which were taught to them by Paul were true. They said they received it with gladness. In other words, they weren't antagonistic, but they went home and said, wait a minute, let's search the scripture. What scripture they have? Old Testament. They searched it, and this man's telling us, but the Lord praised them because they were willing to search the word. Hallelujah. I went back over today that maybe we should do it sometimes for people that haven't heard it, but poison in the pot out of 1 Kings chapter 4. And it said Elisha, when he made that stew, when his servants made that stew, they poured it out. And of course, this is a quick summation. That servant went. I found out the day reading there was 100 men there that was under the school of the prophets. And when they put this big, shredded this gourd and put it into the pot, this young man did it. He didn't know it. It had poison in it. And it said that they began to eat, and as they were eating, they began to say, alas, master, they said to Elisha, there's death in the pot. There's death in the pot. Well, they obviously, the only way that they would have known that there's death is it started cramping their stomach. They either started vomiting or had diarrhea or something, and they realized, And he immediately solved the situation. He told him to bring some meal and did. But here's the whole story of truth in a nutshell. Initially, while they were cooking the stew, it passed the smell test. Yeah. It passed the sight test. It looked good. It smelled good. And it didn't even start bothering them until well into the meal. They didn't even know that they were eating poison until well into the meal. It passed sight, smell, taste. Listen, there's been a prophecy by a few of us that things are coming that's going to even try to get the very elite, the very elect, the ones that are real strong, to just get a little bit off. And if we get a little bit off, we're not going to be ready to steward this revival. So I don't care if it looks good, smells good, tastes good. I am going to question it when I should question it. And when somebody says, I'll tell you what, this is the best I've ever heard. You got to hear it. We don't know this guy, but he's the best. No, wait a minute. No, 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 no. How does he live? What does he preach? What kind of life? We got to be as bold as Kenneth Hagin says, Lord, if you can't give me a chapter and verse on it, I'm not going to receive it. Amen. Let's all stand. Man. So much for trying to get you out at 8:30 or something like that. Hallelujah. We appreciate all of you that's staying with us. And if you have something to give tonight as you're leaving, nobody will keep you from it. We bless you in the name of Jesus, and we bless everybody that's watching. And did you have a good time tonight? Amen. God bless you. Love you all. Thank you.